Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever the situation of your life, whatever it may be that you're saying, well, I don't know if this could ever be solved, I want you to know this morning, God is able. And we're going to look at the word of the Lord together this morning. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, as you're turning there, this is a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the church of Ephesus. Listen to how he prays. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He starts out by saying, God is the creator of all life, either in heaven or on the earth. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Look at verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Our text this morning is a well-known and often memorized portion of Scripture. Bible scholars refer to this passage as a doxology, in that it extols the character, and not only the character, but the power of God. The central truth the Apostle Paul wishes to convey here to the church of Ephesus is very simple, and yet it is quite profound. Paul simply wants the church to understand that regardless of their personal circumstances or the size of their request, God is able. And that is the central theme he wants to drive home. And I pray that your faith this morning will exponentially expand as we investigate this marvelous portion of Scripture, phrase by phrase. Look at it once again. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. First of all, I want you to notice here how Paul speaks of a window of opportunity. You know, if you look at this verse, the very first word speaks about a window of opportunity. And this window of opportunity, Paul wants them to understand clearly, it's a window of opportunity that's open, and it's open now. First word, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is within, that is at work within us. First word, once again, is what? Say it, church. Now. You know, time is comprised of three key components. They say there is time past, time present, and time future. We all know individuals that spend their entire lives somewhere locked into the past. When you speak with them, they're always talking about the good old days and how God used to move. In their way of thinking, the best is already come and gone. On the other hand of the spectrum, way on the opposite end, are those who live their lives focused on the distant future. For them, the best is always futuristic. They always talk in terms of someday things will be different. Someday my life will change. Someday God will answer my prayers. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul encourages his readers to live in the here and the now. Look at it once again. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. First word, everyone together. Now. Now to him. You know that word now is found 1,365 times in the Bible. How many know that anything that is said 1,365 times must be very, very important? And the theme woven all throughout the pages of the Bible is not to get locked in times past, nor in the regrets of failures of times gone by, nor do not spend all of your time and energy thinking about something that's down the road somewhere in the distant future. He wanted his people to live in the now. And friends, I encourage you this morning, let me encourage you as your pastor, live in the now. Give your life to Christ now. Trust him to intervene in your situation now, this very morning. Paul begins by speaking of this window of opportunity, and this window of opportunity he describes as being the time is now. Secondly, look how Paul speaks of having a singular focus. In the now, he says, here's what you need to do. He says, now to him. So the time is, tell me, now. And our focus is to be on him. Notice here, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. The psalmist said it this way. In Psalm 121, starting with verse 1, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, as you read through the Bible, you'll often discover that they talk about the hills round about Jerusalem. You'll find that they talk about Mount Sinai. They'll talk about Mount Zion. And they'll always be talking about these high places, these high hills. It is because they believed at that time that God dwelt in the high places. And so when the psalmist says, I will look to the hills, he is saying, I am going to place my focus on God. I am going to look at it in verse 2 because he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He isn't looking just to a mountain, but rather, my help cometh from whom? Say it, church. The Lord, which made the heavens or made the earth. And so not only do I look to the hill, my God made the hill, my God made the mountain. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let's look at that. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here it is in verse 2, looking unto whom, say a church, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the architect of our faith. Not only is he the architect, he's the one that completed our faith. Remember what Jesus said from the cross just before he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Bible says he shouted out in triumph, it is what? Finished. That's right. So looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, the hymn that we read about in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him, is none other than the Lord God Almighty. The very one that created all things from nothing. You know, there's a term that is used in theology. It's a Greek word which is ex nihilo, and ex nihilo means to create everything out of nothing. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 17. That is what the scripture means when God told him, this is speaking of Abraham now, I've made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, and who creates new things out of what? Say it. Out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept doing what? He kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not what? Even though the years went by, he did not see the immediate answer. Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as what? Good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith, rather than growing weak, became what? Say it. Grew stronger. And in this he brought glory to God. Look at verse 21. He was fully convinced that God is what? Say it. Able to do whatever he promises. Isn't that an incredible phrase? That God is able to do whatever he promises. So the time then is when? Now. And where do we place our focus now? On him, and him is none other than the Lord God Almighty. Now notice here how he says there ought to be a singular focus of our lives, and this singular focus must be on him, the sovereign God. Look at verse 20 one more time. Now is the time. This is the moment. Not somewhere in the regrets of the past. I should have, might have, could have. Not in the future somewhere down the road, but in the now. Living in the now. The now as in this morning. In this service here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, our hearts are saying, Lord, today is the day. Now is the time. And we are going to get that which you have promised to us. Now to him who is able to do. I love that phrase, he is able to do. Say it with me. Will you do that? He is able to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is able to do. He is able to do. I love that phrase. Friends, our God is a doing God. He is not a God of merely the past, of power and might and creation, but he is the God of when? Now. Our God is a doing God. He can do as he pleases. I love reading through the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel. For time and time again, God reveals himself to that generation as the sovereign Lord. Whenever you hear that term, the sovereign Lord, it simply means that God can do all things according to his pleasure. And I assure you this morning that our God has not changed. He still possesses all power in heaven and on earth. And when he speaks, it is done. None can resist him, and none can thwart his will. God is sovereign, and there is none that can stand against what he has declared. So, friends, this morning I declare to you that God is able. He is able, he is capable, and he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. The phrase, he is able, is found many times throughout the Scriptures. Let's take a look at just a few of them. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, wherefore, come on, help me now, wherefore he is what? He is able. Also to save them to the uttermost. Now that's really an interesting and incredible verse. He says, therefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here's what it is saying. Our God is able to save the person that is on the far extremes of life. You know, some of us have met individuals during our life journey that they think they're so good that they do not need a Savior. And it's their own good works and its own, you know, it's their own merit that they believe is going to get them into heaven. And so they reject any need for Christ on the basis of, I'm a good person, and because I'm good, I ought to go to heaven. And then on the opposite end of the of the spectrum. So on one side, it's the person that says, I'm so good, I don't need God. To the other end of the spectrum, to the individual that's saying, I have done so many rotten things, there's no way I could ever be saved. If you were to know my life and know what I've done, and they will give you the litany of why God could not save them, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost, to the far extremes of life. The one that says, I'm so good that I do not need a Savior, to the one that is so bad. You know, all of us in this room this morning, if we were to comprise a list, we have those that we would say, you know, they're close to the kingdom of God, and you know, that I believe they're going to come to know Christ, and you just see God working in their life. But all of us also know someone that we would put on the least likely list. We would say, out of all the persons that I know in my life, they're the least likely to come to Christ. And the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save to the far extremes. Don't give up on anyone this morning. Don't throw in the towel and say that our God cannot, because our God is what? Say it, church. He is able. He is able. Wherefore, he is able then also to save them to the uttermost, the far extremes. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Here's another great verse. For the which cause I also suffer these things, Paul is writing, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is what? Say it. He is able. What is he able to do in this case? We just read where he's able to save to the uttermost. He said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I committed my life to Christ. I made up my mind I will serve him with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. And I know that he is able to keep me in the palm of his hand. Friends, I am so glad that salvation is not some weak, measly little, you know, structure, but rather it's an eternal process with God. And he has begun a good work, and we'll read in just a few moments where he's going to complete it. Yes? He said, I'm persuaded when I gave my life to Christ, he's able to keep me until that moment. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, for in that he himself, that is Jesus, having suffered being tempted. How many know Jesus was tempted? The Bible says he was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. So he knows what it's like to live in this world. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to have your good works, you know, maligned, and you know, he knows what it's like to face the devil in real life. The Bible says, look at one more time, Hebrews 2 and verse 18, for in that he himself having suffered being tempted, he is what? Able to succor them that are tempted. When's the last time you used the word succor? Now, I didn't say succor. I said succor. It's an old English word. And the old English word simply means this. He is able because he knows what it's like, because he lived on this earth so that he would know what it's like to live here and what, you know, the challenges of this life will be. He is able to succor, to strengthen, to help us. It literally means to add strength to our strength. Have you ever just been in one of those moments when you felt like giving up, but you gave in instead of giving up, and you gave in to Christ, and you realize he gave you brand new strength, and suddenly what seemed to be so insurmountable no longer seemed that way, that God was with you and God was for you? Friends, I want you to know he is able. He is able to keep that which you committed against that day. He is able to strengthen you when you're being tempted. And in Jude chapter 1 and verse 24, it says this, now unto him that is what? Say it one more time. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Aren't you glad that he can keep us? You know, I'm so glad that we have hospitals, we have physicians, we have doctors that can, you know, mend and help us heal in many different ways, can set broken bones. But you know what? My desire is to go through this life without needing any broken bones healed. You know, it's one thing to fall and the mercy that gets you put back together again spiritually. But listen to what he says. Now unto him. Again, we find that term. It's now. It's in this moment. It's unto him that is able to keep you from what? Say it. Keep you from falling and to present you how? Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now unto him. Now unto him that is able to do. Aren't you glad that he is able to do? And he can do all things. Now notice here it says he is able to do far beyond our expectations. Look at it one more time, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It starts out now to him who is able to do, what is he able to do? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Paul makes two declarations here. First, he declares that God is able to do immensely or immeasurably more, to excel far beyond what we'll ever ask of him. So he's able to do immeasurably more, far over the top. And secondly, he says, God will always do this in a measure which is beyond all that we ask or even imagine. How many have a great imagination? God can excel beyond what you ask. God can excel beyond that which you can comprehend in your mind or imagine. The King James Version, which many of us cut our teeth on spiritually, here's what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul had come to the conclusion that it was impossible to think bigger than God. And it was, secondly, Paul was convinced that it was impossible to ask beyond God's abilities to answer. He said, I want you to know, he can do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably, beyond that which we can imagine or even think. Notice here it says, God is at work in us. And not only desires to work in us, but wants to work through us. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within where? Say it. Where is he working? In us. In us. That phrase, according to his power that works within us. First of all, the power of God is working in us as believers. You know, I am so grateful for the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is shaping and he's fashioning each and every one of us into the image of Christ. The Bible says we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. I'm so excited. When I see myself, I know that I'm not everything I could be, not everything that I should be, but I can say, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? That's our declaration. And God is at work inside of us. I tell my wife that some days it's like I can hear God's earth-moving equipment and big blasting going off, dynamite going off, the big chunks of my life. Things that God is changing. You sense God at work. And other times, it's like God is just kind of polishing. And it's gentle. And it's, you know, sweet. But a lot of times, you know, we just sense God, one way or another, is at work inside of us. So the Holy Spirit, then, is fashioning and shaping us into the image of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Here's what Paul says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So friends, the work that God has begun, he is faithfully going to complete. And we need to allow him to have his way inside of us. Some days, like I said, it's like dynamite going off. It's like earth movers are moving big chunks away. And other days, you just sense the gentle presence of the Holy Spirit. He's polishing you, preparing you for heaven. Secondly, not only do we have the privilege of the Holy Spirit working in us, We have the privilege of the Holy Spirit of God working through us. Listen to what Jesus told his followers just before he ascended back to heaven. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them." Now, this is not speaking about putting God to a foolish test. We all have seen the snake handlers in the South, many of which have died as a result of having been bit by a snake while they've been trying to prove the fact that God's protection would be with them. He's not talking about putting God to a foolish test, but rather he's saying here, at times there may be those that will hate you so much, they will try to poison you, that the enemy, he will come against you in such ways that he is going to try to destroy you like a serpent. But whatever the enemy tries to do, my divine protection will be on your life. Friends, I am so glad that we can live under the canopy of God's protection. And he has promised it right there. So he says, "These signs shall follow them that do what? Believe." It's going to be where? In my name. So in the name of Jesus, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. And if the enemy tries to set them up, they'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And the Bible says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Friends, God is at work in us, and he longs to work through us. Last Sunday, we talked about a need of this generation for a power encounter. And God is going to use each and every one of us in everyday life to bring the power of God to a lost and dying generation. A generation that feels like God is a God of the past rather than the God of now. Church, we must be careful. We must live in the now. Now, he said, now unto him, that is unto God, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, even stretching our imagination to the far end, God is still greater and more capable than we will ever credit him with, according to his power that is at work within us. I declare to you this morning, no matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult, no matter whether it's financial, whether it's marital, whether it's direction for your life, or you feel like you have messed things up so bad there's no hope for you today, I'm here to declare to you today, God is able. God is able. He is able. He is able. This morning, if you're in this place and you're saying, "Pastor, you know, I'm facing some things in my life." Maybe you've never given your life to Christ this morning. When is the time? Tell me, church. Now. When is the time to believe God? When's the time to put faith into action? And where do we place our faith? Now, unto him that is able to do. What do you need done? He is able to do. He is the sovereign. He is the sovereign God. And what he has promised, he will absolutely bring to pass. You say impossible? God says there's no such thing. The world says you're a fool. And we say, I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for the devil. The world says no way. And we say, his way. Now unto him. Now, this morning, in this service, right now. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, immeasurably, more than we can ever ask or think, imagine. And where is that power of God going to work? In us, and then through us.